And as I told you a few minutes ago, we have a listener who listens to our services. Her name is Erica. She works at El Potro beside Big Lots on Abercorn. So y'all say hello to Erica. Uh-huh. Turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 10. Revelation chapter 10. In our last study, John watched as the sixth angel blew his trumpet from the gold altar that was before the Lord. John watched the four angels as they were released to empower an army of 200 million mounted troops that would kill one-third of the world's population. We learned that this judgment, when this judgment was complete, that over one half of the world's population that remained after the rapture of the church would be dead. This is 2.5 years into the tribulation period, and over half the world's population would be dead. We learned that the plagues of fire, smoke, and sulfur came from the horses' mouths, and the tails like snakes would inflict injury upon the men who remained. We also learned that those who remained on the earth after the sixth judgment would not relent. They would not come to God, and they would not turn from their wicked and evil doings. Tonight, we are still considering events that are taking place after the sixth trumpet and before the seventh trumpet judgment. So we're kind of in a middle period tonight as we consider Revelation chapter 10. John writes for us, "Then I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven, surrounded by a cloud, with a rainbow over his head. His face was like the sun, his legs like the fiery pillars, And he had a scroll opened in his hand. He put his right foot on the sea and his left on the land. And he cried out with a loud voice like a roaring lion. When he cried out, the seven thunders spoke with their voices. And when the seven thunders spoke, I was about to write," underline that, "I was about to write, then I heard a voice from heaven saying, seal up what the seven thunders said, and do not write it down. Then the angel that I had seen standing on the sea and on the land raised his right hand to heaven. He swore an oath by the one who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and what is in it, the earth and what is in it, the sea and what is in it. There will no longer be an interval of time, but in the days of the sound of the seventh angel, when he will blow his trumpet, then God's hidden plan will be completed, as he announced to his servants, the prophets. Now the voice that I heard from heaven spoke to me again and said, go, take the scroll that lies open in the hand of the angel who was standing on the sea and the land. So I went to the angel and I asked him to give me the scroll. He said to me, take and eat it. It will be bitter to your stomach, but it will be as sweet as honey in your mouth. Then I took the little scroll from the angel's hand and ate it. It was sweet as honey in my mouth, but when I ate it, my stomach became bitter. And I was told, you must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, languages, and kings." Let's pray. Father, we come to you tonight. And Lord, I ask you, I beg you to please just open our eyes, open my eyes. This was a very difficult task that was set before me with Revelation 10. God, I pray that you would be with the congregation and help them to understand what I'm saying and what I'm preaching, because it was hard to understand. But Lord, I pray that you'd open our eyes that we might be better prepared servants for you. We might be a better service to you. Lord, that's why we're here. We're here to serve you. So Lord, we ask you to let that be. In Jesus' name we do pray. And all God's children said, amen. If I was to give a title to this, which I don't, at the top of these book studies, I just have Revelation chapter 10. If I was to give this a title, I would call this the chapter of the unknowns. The chapter of the unknowns. Because to be quite honest, I really don't know a whole lot more after reading and studying it than I did before I started reading and studying it. There's a wealth of information. There's a lot of events. We see a lot taking place in chapter 10, but none of it's definitive. None of it is isolated to a point where we can put our finger on it and say this is definitively going to happen. This is who this is. This is who this is in ways that we can in other chapters. It's kind of confusing, but church, listen, I want you to understand something. If we cannot find definitives in this, there's a reason. And that reason is it's not for us to know. Now, that's hard for us in our culture to grasp and understand. You mean there's something in the Word of God that God put in the Word of God, and the Word of God is for us, but He put it in there such a way for us to see it, not understand it, and know that we're not to know about it. Yes. Did that make any sense? Yeah. What we need to know is that it's going to take place. It's going to transpire. So let's get into it. Okay. No one heard a trumpet blow, right? Because we're right in the middle of the seven trumpets. Did anybody hear a seventh trumpet blow in chapter 10? Nope. So we know that there is still one more trumpet to come. It's coming. Now, let's start the night by describing the mighty angel. Now, I first of all want to take just a second and speak on the topic of angels. And y'all please look up here at me. If y'all don't, please get this. I want y'all to get this at the very beginning. There are some people, some Christians, that give way too much attention and give way too much credit to angels. Now, what are you talking about? I've heard good-hearted Christians say when their loved one, their relative, their mom, their dad, their sister, my mom said this when my sister died. She says, I now have another angel in heaven. She's my special angel. Some of us give these angels way, way too much credit. Some of us don't give angels enough credit. Angels are created beings. Humans are not angels, nor do we turn into angels when we go to heaven. On the other hand, there are those who don't give enough credit to angels. Warren Wiersbe says, more than 60 references to angels are made in the book of Revelation. After all, they are God's army sent to accomplish His purpose on earth. Believers today seldom think about the ministry of these servants. But one day in heaven, we shall learn about all they did for us. Well, Brother Kyle, okay, you said Scripture qualifies Scripture. Show me in Scripture qualifying what you just said. Well, put your hand in Revelation and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Chapter 1. Hebrews 1, chapter 1. Verse 13. Now to which of the angels has ever said, sit at my right hand until I make my enemies your footstool? God's never said that to any of His angels. Are they, now he's talking about the angels, are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve those who are going to inherit salvation? Now listen, angels are amongst us. They are. Some of us give angels way too much credit. Some of us don't give angels enough credit. Y'all with me? But we need to understand they are created beings. They are not human beings. They have a very specific purpose. Amen? Amen. Now, listen, we don't need to browbeat people. I didn't look at my mother and say, Mom, you're crazy. Mandy's not an angel. She didn't turn into an angel. I didn't do that. We need to be sensitive, but, you know, we need to enlighten people as well. Amen? All right. Tonight's Scripture tells us of a mighty angel descending from heaven, giving us, the reader, an indication that this was not a normal or average angel, but one that was to be distinguished as very different from the rest. Very different. Okay? Now let's look at those attributes one by one. John said the angel was surrounded by clouds. As we have seen and heard of future references of the Lord Himself being surrounded in such clouds. We might reflect on how God led the Hebrew children as a pillar of smoke during the day and fire by night. We see a lot of symbolism with these clouds. Now, this angel, he descends, and Scripture says he's a mighty angel. He descends, and he has this grouping of clouds around him on this day. Number two, we see that this angel had a rainbow over his head. Now, church, I want you to stop and think about that. Let that sink in for a second. Genesis tells us that God gave man the symbol of a rainbow to remind man that what? And what was that covenant? He would never destroy the earth again with a flood. Man and our culture has taken a beautiful symbol that God has given us in recognition of the covenant between God and man, and has twisted it and has made that symbol a wicked symbol today. Now think with me, church. What we just saw, God knew the day that we were going to be living in. This angel, when he descends in between the sixth trumpet and the seventh trumpet, is going to reclaim that symbol that God gave man, and he's going to redirect it back to himself. It's never meant for man to glorify man himself. That symbol was meant for man to look at it and be glorified and understand the glory of God. This angel, when he descends, is going to have that rainbow surrounding him. Now, I'm probably getting ready to say the same thing I just said. I want to read it and make sure I did not leave out anything. When this angel descended and had a rainbow over his head, some commentators feel this was a crown of reflection or remembrance, as the rainbow was used as a symbol between God and man, that God would never destroy the earth by flood ever again. Now, the third attribute, the angel's face. The angel's face was described as being like the sun. I know that we've all at some point done something very foolish, and I remember I was in the eighth grade the last time I remember seeing a full lunar eclipse. Is that right? The lunar eclipse goes across the sun? That's called a lunar eclipse, right? And I remember all day long being in the eighth grade, and that was in 1984. Y'all were around then. Most of y'all were around then. 84. Jessica, you weren't here in 84? You were two? You don't remember? Okay. But I remember all day long the sun was just covered by the moon. And what did you want to do? Look at it. And they were on news all day long. Do not look at the sun. Do not look at the sun. And they told us you could get a pie plate. You remember? Pie plate, and stick a hole in the pie plate and hold it up. And the reflection, you could see the reflection. Well, nobody wanted to see the reflection. We wanted to see the whole thing, right? So they told, wear really dark sunglasses if you're going to look at the sun. Well, at some point in time in our lives, we've all looked up at the sun. And by doing so, we know that we had to immediately do what? We had to look away because the intense brightness burned our eyes. It may be good for us to think of Moses when he descended from Mount Sinai, how he had the countenance of God on his face. And the Hebrew children asked, they begged him, to wear a veil so that they could look upon him. This angel, when he descended, his countenance was like the radiance of the sun. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? They could not look upon his face. Fourthly, the Scripture says the angel's legs were like fiery pillars. He held in his hand an open scroll that could be the scroll that Christ took from the hand of God and that had the seven seals on it. It could be. He put his right foot on the sea and left on the ground, which could represent Israel and the Gentile nations being under his dominion. Could be. Now, we hear that the angel cried. The angel cried out with a loud voice, and John just said that it sounded like the roaring of a lion. We know that have seen that Jesus is given the distinction of being the lion out of the tribe of Judah. Now, as we look at all these attributes together. There are some who would make conclusions. There were some who would give conclusions. The question might be looming with you as you just heard all these descriptions as we kind of went through these attributes one by one. Who is this angel? Who in the world is this angel? Was this Jesus that John was describing in the clouds, and as some commentators describe, or was this a mighty angel coming to serve the will of God the Father? Church, to be perfectly honest, I have seen reasonable debate for this being Jesus, and I've seen reasonable debate that this angel fits all the attributes of being Jesus. But I cannot tell you with 100% accuracy that it is. To be quite honest, John was not told, nor does John tell us who the angel is. And I see that I have no right to form an opinion or jump on either one of the bandwagons. I am completely fine with telling you that I don't know who this angel was, but I believe he will come as John has said he will come. Could it have been Christ? Could have been. The Son of God? Could have been. Did John say? No. We don't need to get torn up about it. I saw some commentators who filled almost two pages trying to persuade the readers that it was Jesus. Did Jesus possess all the attributes that this ain't? Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. But for some reason, we're not to know. We don't have to know. We really don't have to know. We're to warn. Now, in verse 3 and 4, and I want to read verse 3 and 4. Let me turn back. Verse 3 and 4, something takes place that should intrigue you and scare you. Verse 3 says, "And he cried out with a loud voice like a roaring lion. When he cried out, the seven thunders spoke with their voices." Who? The seven thunders? The seven thunders spoke with their voices. "And when the seven thunders spoke, I was about to write, then I heard a voice from heaven saying, seal up what the seven thunders said and do not write it down. So I sat in my office again, and I'm thinking, something's happening here, and it's magnificent, it's big, but we don't know what it is. We don't have a clue. So far, we've seen seven seal judgments. We've seen six of the seven trumpet judgments. And we know most definitely that there are seven bowl judgments coming. What we do not know is what these seven thunders are. Here's another unknown. We don't know who the angel was, and we don't know what the seven thunders are. We don't have a clue. Commentators agree that John saw events taking place with each of the seven thunders in the same way he has seen and described with the seal and the trumpet judgments. They agree that these thunders are most likely more judgments to fall on man and earth, but they have been reserved for a time and a people to experience. It is not for us, the church, to know. Well, who will experience these seven thunders? Who will know? Turn back with me to John chapter 9, verse 20. Who's going to know? Who's going to experience them? John chapter 9, verse 20 says, "The rest of the people who were not killed by the plagues did not repent of the works of their hands or stop worshiping demons and idols of gold, silver, bronze, stone, or wood, which they were not able to see, hear, or walk. And they did not repent of their murders, their sorceries, or their sexual immorality, or their thefts." So who's going to experience these seven thunders? These people. These people. Is this something that the church is going to experience? No, the church is going to be raptured. Is it going to be people who are saved during the tribulation period? Some maybe, some most not. Then we get to the pledge seen in verse 5 and 7. 5 through 7. Then the angel that I had seen standing by the sea, and on the land, raised his right hand to heaven. He swore an oath by the one who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and what is in it, and the earth and what is in it, and the sea and what is in it. There will no longer be an interval of time, but the days of the sound of the seventh angel, when he will blow his trumpet, then God's hidden plan. God's hidden plan. Does that intrigue y'all? God's hidden plan will be completed as he announced to his servants, the prophets. God's hidden plan. We see this angel still standing on earth in the sea, making a solemn pledge to God of all creation that something is about to happen. Well, what is it? What is it? We have to know. What's about to happen? John Phillips sees the judgments and the speed in which we see the wrath of God expelled to the earth and its inhabitants will speed up. Anybody looking forward to that? No. I mean, so far, all we've seen is the rapture of the church, the seven seal judgments, and six trumpet judgments. So we still have seven thunders, the seventh trumpet, and seven bowl judgments. And we only have 3.5 years for it to happen. And in the 3.5 years so far, we've seen the rapture, seven seals, and six trumpets. That's a lot. But now we're getting ready to speed up. Things are going to speed up. The second thing we see is that God's hidden plan will be completed. What is it? What could God's hidden plan be? John Phillips believes this completed secret is one of the greatest complexity man has faced with the issue of God. Y'all ready? This is one of the greatest complexities man has ever faced with the issue of God. Why has God allowed Satan and man to have his own way? Why? I mean, he's God. Hey, listen, I talk to young people all the time, and they say, well, if he's God, why didn't he just show himself as God and be God and God over us? We have this thing that God gave us called free will. And it's one of the greatest blessings we possess as Christians, and it's one of the greatest obstacles that the lost see as they look at Christians. This free will. At this point in time, John Phillips believes that free will is going to be complete. From this point on, we're not going to see God's man having free will, but we're going to see God's total wrath revealed on man who once had free will. Kind of disturbing. Then we see another event. The third event, or really the fourth event. The taking and eating of the scroll. This is strange. The event was strange. The request was strange. What happened when John took the scroll and ate it was strange. Now remember, as you Bible scholars know, when Scripture says that something's bitter in your stomach, that means you're what? You're sick. You remember, I think it was Paul. Paul gave Christians permission for one reason to drink wine. Do you know what it was for? Yeah. When you were upset, well, really two. When you were brokenhearted. But when you have a bitter stomach, the wine settles your stomach. Well, that's what happened tonight. As I looked at these verses, these last four verses, thinking that they might hold the glue that would make all of this chapter hold together and make perfect sense, I'm sorry to say, they didn't. They really didn't. John Phillips summarizes these verses by saying, eating is easily recognized as a symbol for receiving knowledge. Excuse me. For example, we ourselves speak of digesting a piece of information. What John savored of the mind and will of God is that little scroll was sweet to the taste. For the prayers of God's people were to be answered at last. Those prayers that we saw, those saints underneath the altar in Revelation chapter 6 crying out to God to vindicate them and to vindicate His will, those prayers are being answered finally at last. And the coming of the Lord was soon to come. But oh, the bitterness of what lay ahead first. How bitter it is, and it was, to have it revealed that these things had to get worse, much worse, before they got better. Now, it also had to be bitter for John as well. John, you have to understand, as he is seeing all of these events take place, and he's writing them down just as fast as he possibly can. He doesn't really know at this point in time why he's writing, what he's writing. He was just instructed to write, so he's writing, right? But as he reflects on this, as he reflects on this scripture, what is he thinking? As he went through the motions of doing what God told him to do, not knowing why, not having a clue as to why. Why all of this took place. So I hope that you can step back after you read this tonight again and ask yourself the same thing I ask. Why? It's here for a reason. It's here for a purpose. I tell you this. Just as I told you a few weeks ago, when Satan is given the keys to open the great abyss and the horde of grasshopper-like insects comes out with has hair like a woman, teeth like a lion, has a scorpion's tail, it can fly, it can't be killed. It was sent to torment man for how many months? 4 months, I believe. I might be wrong. 4 months. Wouldn't kill them. Listen, those people were going to be looking for a way to get rid of them. And the only thing that is on this earth that could describe these insects is the Word of God. Now, I can imagine that these people who experience this aren't going to just stop with Revelation chapter 8 and 9. They're going to continue on. They're going to try to figure out what is coming next. And as they get to chapter 10, whereas we, the church today, don't have answers, they will. Whereas we can't fill in the blanks, they'll be able to. As this angel stands on the land, and one foot on land, one foot on sea, and they hear those seven thunders, they'll be able to make sense of something that we can't tonight. So church, is it for us? Yes. Is it for them? Yes. If I had to say who it was more for, I would have to say it was more for them than it is for us, because we have unknowns. Unknowns. Church, the best way I know to close this chapter is to tell you what I already have. There are things coming that we know are coming. We are being, right now, conditioned to accept these things when they come, as they come. But we must know and warn others that there are things coming that God has said will not be known until it takes place. What would you fear more? What would you fear most? What you knew was coming, or what you had no idea was coming? All we know is that it's coming. I don't have a clue what's coming with the seven thunders. But I know this. As we've seen with the very beginning of the seven seals up to the sixth judgment, Have they decreased with intensity and severity? No. They've increased with intensity and severity. I don't know what's coming with the seven thunders, Gary, but I know this. What's coming far exceeds what's taking place so far in what we've seen in the book of Revelation. So I'd say this to you. As you sound your alarm and you warn those around you, let them know that they need to be afraid of what they can see in the book of Revelation. But they need to be just as fearful, if not more fearful, for what they cannot see coming in the book of Revelation. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we praise you. We thank you, God, for this night. We thank you for this word. Lord, there's so much that I don't understand. But God, there's so many things you're showing me as I'm studying this book, and I thank you for it. God, I hope this congregation feels the same way, that they're learning something they've never learned before. And it's not because of me, God. There's no way I could ever take credit for it. It's all you. And we give you honor, praise, and glory, thanking you, God, for instilling this in our hearts and minds, for leaving it as a record for us and for those who are coming behind us, God, who are going to be suffering through this. God, you're such a righteous and a holy God. You've always given man an escape route out. They don't have to suffer through this. Use us as vehicles and vessels to proclaim your gospel that they might not have to. Be with us during this time of invitation. In Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, will you stand during this invitation? The altar's open if you need to come. Will you come?